20 speaks of treasures in heaven. And I've got a metal ruler on my desk with the books of the Bible on it that I received probably close to 60 years ago at the gospel tent. And it's a treasure to me. All the other things can come and go, but that's a treasure to me. And I read about two fellows who prospected in Australia. They do so on the weekends. And this one Saturday, the fellow was going along with his metal detector and he got a beep, beep, beep. And he thought, oh, this is probably a horseshoe. He dug down and he found either 3.2 or 3.4 kilo nugget of gold. Now, that's a lot of money. But, you know, the Bible says heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Well, over the years, reading John's gospel, I'm thankful to two teachers from Bible school who instilled in me a love for John's gospel. Now, Matthew's good, Mark's good, Luke's good, but John, there's just something about John's gospel. John laid his head on the Lord's breast. And so as I was reading through my Bible, my daily Bible reading, I came across in John's gospel, the Lord saying that he was sent by his heavenly Father. So then I began to notice it's there a few times. Why does the Lord repeat himself? Because he wants our attention. Pay attention to this. Remember in basic training in the military, the corporal would say, now pay attention to the demonstration. Why? Because if you pay attention, then you're going to know what you need to do. So he says that he was sent of the Father. So I started marking and counting, and I found 33 times. Wow, what a treasure. 33 times the Lord Jesus speaks of the incarnation. But it doesn't stop there. Every time that he says he was sent by his heavenly Father, there's something with it. You see, he didn't come on an ego trip to just say, hey, I've been sent by my Father. Look at me. No, he says, I was sent by my Father, and then there's something with it. Ah, now we're getting into the treasures. The metal detector starts going beep, 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 beep. Yeah, this is exciting. So it starts in John 3. Verse 17. Now, we're all familiar with John 3:16. What's he say? John 3:17, he says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. So there we have God sent his Son. But, praise the Lord for the buts in the Bible. Sheep follow goats, but. But this one, it says, in 3:17, but that the world through him might be saved. This is where it starts, folks. It starts at salvation. Now, there's something else interesting here. As you take the various references where the Lord Jesus says that he was sent by the Father, and there's something with it, it's full of doctrine. It's a great way to teach doctrine. Out of the 33 times I've just finished 27 messages on this series of the Father sent the Son. But it tells a story. As you go from theme to theme to theme, it tells a story. It's like you take the names in the genealogy from Adam to Jesus Christ. And all those names have a meaning. And you follow the name or the themes of those names through from Adam to Jesus Christ, and it tells a story. Ah, the treasures. The treasures in the Word of God, but you've got to dig for them. They're not laying on the surface. You've got to dig for them. And it's taken years to come to this, for me, anyway. So you see, first of all, eternal life begins with salvation. So the Lord Jesus says, I was sent by the Father for your salvation. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I can work with this. And in John 3:34, we read, he speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. If we commit ourselves to the Word of God, to the study of the Word, there is no measuring what God will show us. But, you know, if we're on our own program doing our own thing and just coming casually to the Word of God, we're not going to get out of his Word what he has for us. But he says that he will give not the Spirit by measure unto him. And if we want to learn the Word, we need to spend time in the Word. Now, third one is John 4:34. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Not my work, his work. Finish it. It's like you sit down at the table. I was not a big eater as a child. I would sit there for hours. I must have about drove my mother crazy. She tried everything to get me to eat. She brought me to a specialist in Aberdeen when I was 5, and he checked me out, and he says, woman, when he's hungry, he'll eat. He won't die. He won't starve to death. You've got the food there in front of him. When he wants to eat, he'll eat. Anyway, my mother wanted me to finish what was on the plate. Well, the Lord says here that my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and finish his work. Finish it. Don't leave it unfinished. A project unfinished stands out to everybody. Look, he started it, but he didn't finish it. Finish the work. So, what does the Lord have me to do? That's what I need to be doing. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh thee rich, and he hath no sorrow with it. Proverbs 10:22. Ah, you want God's blessing? You've got to work at it. And you've got to finish what he leads you to do. Number four, he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. I need to honor the Son. We're told to be baptized. After we trust the Lord, we need to be baptized. We need to make a public declaration that I have left the old ways of the world and I'm identifying with the Lord Jesus Christ who saved me. Nobody else did. Nobody else can. Nobody else will. But he did. He saved me for all eternity. There's no question about that. So, as a result, it's important for me to go into the waters of baptism and show forth I've identified with him. Now I'm going to give you another one. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Notice the guaranteed absolutes in that verse. You're going to find, that's 5:24, you're going to find a lot of times people are going to try to get you off track. But the Lord Jesus doesn't try to get you off track. He shows you these absolutes. And it's amazing the people who say, oh, you can't follow absolutes. There are no absolutes. But I'm telling you, if they go through a green light and somebody T-bones them who come through a red light, they're quick to say, his light was red. Mine was green. There are no absolutes. Well, you know, it might have been amber. No, mine was green. His had to be red. Why are they so keen on absolutes? Because there's money in the situation. Anyway, I'm going to jump to the last one, and it's John chapter 20 and verse 21. And in John 20, 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. You won't get the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart until you make that initial step of salvation that he spoke about in John 3:17. But you follow through it, through all the doctrines, great way to teach doctrine, but you won't get that peace unless you start and follow your way through, but it leads to peace, peace in the heart. A lot of people are seeking peace. And the Lord offers it to us. It's just a matter of obedience. Like I said about Proverbs 10:22, if you want the Lord's blessing, it's simple. Obey. And here, if you want the peace of God that comes from him who was sent by the Heavenly Father, he didn't send Buddha, he didn't send Allah, he didn't send Hare Krishna, he sent his son, Jesus Christ. And he offers peace. You can run with this, folks. It's a treasure. It's a delight to know that when we rest our head on the pillow at night, it doesn't matter if we don't wake up in this body, it's going to be better. Hallelujah. We can go with that. The Lord's peace.